Hey all, we have a content warning for this episode. We briefly mention alcohol abuse and eating disorders around the 8 minute mark, and alcohol abuse comes up again around the 23 minute mark. So if you're sensitive to either of those topics, you may want to skip ahead a couple of minutes. That's about as long as we talk about it. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Ugly Podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Emerson, and we're trying really hard not to try so hard.
Come hang out with us as we talk about our passion for creativity, authenticity, and heart-centered entrepreneurship. Did I say that right?
Yep, definitely. I've been feeling like a butterfly in a cocoon, like still a like mushy caterpillar in a cocoon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about it. It's like, it's not even like from caterpillar to butterfly, but just like I'm going from one thing and metamorphosizing into another, and it's not linear and it's messy and I don't know anything.
Yeah, I feel like the metaphor of a butterfly is like, it's so misleading.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, yeah, you transform once, but then you transform a million more times. And each time you transform, it's not like a complete transformation. It's like, bits of you have transformed and others are the same. And this part's growing weird and you have to kind of accept it.
We're mutant butterflies.
Yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Adult mutant
butterflies.
Creativity butterflies.
I love it. So welcome to the Ugly Podcast. I am Lauren Alexander. I use she, her pronouns.
And I'm Emerson Lee, and I use they, them pronouns.
And this is the Ugly Podcast because we do things without making them perfect sometimes.
Yep.
And we do our best to just let them be and be creative without trying to control everything. And today we're going to be talking about growth. This is like the first time we're recording together in like a month.
Oh, yeah, forever. It feels like a lifetime, which will be interesting to talk about growth because it's been happening.
Yes.
Yeah. I was actually going to say I'm in a hotel right now. So there may be like sounds of dogs and people and stuff around, which makes it particularly ugly, but also is, you know, kind of the interesting space of growth I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I embrace it.
Yes. As we must, because we have to, because we don't really have a choice.
Exactly.
So do you have any wins for the week?
I think that living in a hotel and not losing my mind is a good one. which is like, sounds sarcastic, but it's also like, I'm somehow still thriving-ish. Thriving's a weird concept, but in general, like I'm like doing fine here and I have my dogs and my spouse and we don't have a home right now and it's okay. And I think that compared to my past younger selves who would have been freaking out, it is a pretty nice headspace to be in.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you can look at it like that. I mean, I know it's frustrating and not everything's like perfect and everything, but like the fact that you can look at the frustration of the season and be like, yeah, I'm still doing my best here and like doing my thing.
Yeah. What's one of your wins from this week or month?
I think my win for this week is that I started a challenge that I haven't immediately given up on. I'm trying out Simone Grace Soul's garbage post challenge, which we were just talking about before we started recording, which is posting 100 posts in 30 days, which is a lot. And I wanted to give up after the first day, but I did not. And that is a win.
Well, and the thing too about the garbage post challenge is that it's 100 posts that are supposed to be like the most trashy trash, whatever, throw it up there kind of thing. And that's even harder than trying to make posts that are nice and good.
Exactly. And so like, I think what I've been posting is fine. But it is a lot of stuff that I wasn't really intending to post, which is kind of funny because like a lot of these things are things I've written before And I'm just kind of going back and posting them because I'm like, nope, it's the challenge. I have to post them now. But they're not like necessarily garbage. They're just things that my brain was like, no, I'm not ready to post those yet. But then this challenge is like giving me an excuse to go post these things.
Well, I love that too, because it is essentially that you took them, wrote them, threw them in the garbage, and now you are doing the garbage challenge and taking the garbage and putting it up.
And now I'm dumpster diving into my
social
media posts.
Amazing.
So that segues well into just what we're talking about today, which is growth, which I'm really excited to talk about because it feels like we're both growing a lot at the moment and have grown a lot in the past year.
And also like the 12 years since we met.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Unbelievably so.
Yeah. We are drastically different people from when we first met.
And are still like such good friends. And it's crazy.
Yeah. I love that we've grown together in that way and changed just along the same trajectory and kind of helped each other grow. And I really appreciate you for that.
Yeah, me too.
So what are the feelings that you tend to feel during the growing process?
I think the simplest answer is everything. Mm-hmm. And especially through so many different phases of growing. Like I know when I'm like getting ready to plant something, I'll be really excited, but really nervous. And then it feels really vulnerable once I have, and, you know, then I start doubting myself, and it's just, you know, kind of that cycle of all feelings ever and all bouncing around, which I think is part of what makes the growing process hard, because it's not just like, this is hard and I feel discouraged. It's just everything all the time.
Yeah, I feel that too. And one thing that I was thinking about before we were recording is that when I'm in that growth process, and I'm kind of just now making this actual connection between these two ideas, is that I tend to kind of disassociate, and like my brain kind of shuts down at times when I'm in the growth process. And I think it's because what you just said, which is like, I'm feeling so many things that like at a certain point, my brain's just like, okay, we need a break. Like we cannot connect to this situation at the moment. We need to go distract ourselves with D&D podcasts and random games on our phone, and we cannot be here right now. So I think I have to intentionally come back to my emotions when I'm in the, when I'm growing, because like, I just want to quit so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I definitely feel that as well. It's really hard to stay engaged, nor do we necessarily need to stay engaged with the whole process. But yeah, that instinct to just be like, shut it all down, whether it's temporarily or wanting to do it permanently. It can be really strong.
Yeah. Well, and like growing pains, like you're growing up and everything hurts. Like that's any growth period hurts. When I stopped drinking so much, I'm not like sober, but like I stopped drinking so much, and there was a period where I couldn't drink for a while because I would want to keep drinking, which is why I needed to stop. So I didn't drink for months. And like there was a phase early on where it just like was painful, like not like bodily, but like emotionally, I was just like, I just want to fucking drink. Mm-hmm. And like it sucked to like go through that growth period. But like now that I'm on the other side of that, it's like, yes, I needed that. I needed that experience.
Yeah. It's interesting we're talking about this right now, because I just had the revelation that for the past month or two or more, I've been eating all my feelings. Like I have binge eating disorder, and I thought of myself as being more in remission with it. And it's been like, okay, yeah, no, I'm trying to calm myself down by eating a lot. And it's that same thing where you just, you know, there is a very effective tool available to us to shut our feelings down. And in some ways it's really reasonable, but then it can harm us too. And so it's hard to, set that thing down. But like you said, you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that was what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I will be doing that now as well.
Yeah.
That got darker than I expected.
I know. That's totally, I know. I as soon as I brought up like the alcohol, I'm like, I don't know if I should talk about this. But I mean, it is like when you're in a season of growth, like a lot of times you want to numb it because it's overwhelming. even the positive feelings can be overwhelming because we're not so used to like embracing joy in that way because, you know, it's vulnerable to access those like deep emotions. You're afraid you're going to lose it. So like, you know, it's so normal for us to numb. That's just what we do.
Yeah.
But when you can like lean into the growth process and be intentional with it, like it's very rewarding in the long run.
Yeah. How have you personally grown through your business?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I have grown so much from starting my business because I've talked about this so many times. I was so scared when I first started. I like had this idea for a business that I wanted. It was heart-centered. I wanted to work with authors who were trying to change the world and trying to share their stories. But I was so afraid of showing up that way myself and even just showing up anyway. I needed it to be perfect. I needed people to think of me as a professional who could handle the job and could do anything. And I needed everything aligned. And like it quickly became clear that in order to run a business that is not realistic, and especially a heart-centered business, the people that you want to work with are not going to be drawn to that. They're going to be drawn to vulnerability, to authenticity. And so I quickly had to open those parts of myself that were so shut off. And I mean, I've just grown so much in being able to show my face on social media and share my story about leaving religion and wanting to connect with other people who have left religion. And like, I never would have been able to do that before I started my business.
Yeah. Yeah. My voice cracked. That wasn't audio cracking. That was my voice cracking. I think that growth process has been really evident in your page and in your work. And I think you should tell the people about the reel you posted of the clip from the podcast from a while ago and then now.
Oh, yeah. So I was going back to kind of just like get some sound bites from our previous episodes. And I came across one during, I think it was either the perfectionism episode or the authenticity episode. And you were talking about like going live on social media and like showing your face with your tattoos and your purple hair. And like, I went in after you said all that and I was just like, yep, I'm not there yet. I don't feel comfortable sharing my face. Like I'm still not there. I've got like, I can't do it. And it was just so funny to go back and listen to it because I've been showing my face on social media now for a couple months. And it's like, oh my gosh, like this was only 3 months ago that we recorded this. And I'm already like laughing at how much growth has happened since then.
It's such a good like before and after, like literally in real time watching you listen to yourself from 3 months ago be like, never will I do this. And you do it all the time and it's great and fun and awesome.
Yeah, I'm very proud of myself. And
yeah,
like
you should be.
That was just such a cool way to come across it too, because I wasn't looking back at the podcast like examining myself. I was just going back and being like, oh, what can I use to like promote the podcast? And then it was just like, oh my God, this was just such a perfect little capsule of time. And like, that's why I love this podcast and making it with you, because it's evolving as our businesses are evolving. And it's really cool.
Yeah. I hope there are people who listen regularly and also see that trajectory and feel it within themselves too. Cause I think that's part of the beauty of this podcast, is seeing like things evolve and ideas come up and growth happen. And you don't necessarily see that when you just listen to one episode one time.
Yeah, definitely.
We need more fans.
All right, people, if you're listening to this and this is your first episode, your assignment is to go back and listen to every single episode.
Yes, or at least one, like get a before and after. Cause it is, we were so different. There were things we were like, oh yeah, we'll never do that. Or at least it's really hard for us. And now we're like, oh yes, we do this all the time.
Yes, exactly. What about you? How have you personally grown through your business?
Yes. So I feel like I talk about it all the time, but in the past year, being part of Reimagining Dementia, Creative Coalition for Justice, and starting this podcast with you and learning from your practice and various other things in my life, I am so much less attached to, you know, rigidity and structure. And I'm just like, we're just doing whatever, whenever, and, you know, rolling with things in a way I couldn't before and having more fun, you know, this moving process. I actually really enjoyed our trip up here and kind of am enjoying being in this hotel. And there's just all these things I would have thought like, oh no, that I could never handle that. I would never be okay in that space. And I am. And that was not a thing before my business. And I thought my business, like you, I thought it would be really structured and really, you know, perfect and poised. And it's so much messier, but that's so much more real and interesting and fun.
Yeah. And that realness makes it more accessible to people because then they're like, oh, this person is not expecting me to show up any other way except as myself.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that you find helpful to measure your personal growth?
Having things documented is a big thing. Like I journal every morning and looking back at old journals is really helpful for me. And I mean, it can be really cringy, you know, when you're like, oh man, like I was like so obsessed with this problem at that time. But it's also just like provides you such clarity of like, oh, the things that I'm struggling with now, I'm going to look back at and think, look at how much I was worrying about this thing and look how much it helped me grow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, following journals, looking back at old journals, listening back at these old podcast episodes like we were just talking about.
Yeah, those are all
good. What about you?
It's similar for me. I've journaled off and on since I learned how to write and I rarely go back and look at them. But when I do, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like a night and day time machine look back into the past. And I think I do a lot of that more, it's more accessible doing it on like Instagram, looking back at old posts. Like I'll be like, oh, I shaved my head once before, you know, and I look back and see what that was like back then. And it's so funny. Like I like that kind of like before and after thing of being, you know, finding parallels in our lives and using them as kind of touch points to past times. And I feel like a lot of that with our move, there's a lot of parallels, you know, coming back to my home state and remembering like, oh, the last time I was here in this place, I was feeling like this. I really, really like those. Like they're fun to find. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt to find those moments where you are really in touch with your past self.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to think of it. Especially like, so I'm going home to Spokane this weekend.
You're going to have a scavenger hunt.
Well, and actually, I think that that's exactly what I do every time I go home. Mm. Is I have like a box in my room at home that has like a bunch of letters and like my gymnastics trophies and all of these little trinkets. And like pretty much every time I go home, I take that box out and I look through everything.
Aww. That's cute.
And it is just like, yeah, I think that that is my way of like connecting with that younger self and where I was back then.
Yeah, it's a really powerful kind of almost ritual to do with ourselves.
Yeah, I like that. So what do you think is one of the more harmful ideas that we have about personal growth or anything that you've noticed in your life that might hold you back from personal growth?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about this earlier. A metaphor that feels really true for where I'm at right now is that I feel like I'm in a cocoon in this hotel and just through this whole moving process that I was kind of a fully formed creature on one side of this. And then I've kind of gone into this metamorphosis and it's, you know, very much like a cocoon. But the problem with that metaphor is then it kind of implies that, you know, I'll come out as a butterfly and that it's better than where I was before and that it's very linear and distinct and has just a lot of implications that I do think are not applicable to personal growth and can harm our process. So yeah, I think just any idea that indicates that it's a linear process and that if it's not linear, then you're failing at it. Instead of it just being like, we're always growing and evolving and changing and every variation can be beautiful and interesting. It's a much harder kind of growth to conceptualize, but I think it's way more cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think especially because like you can continue to change and morph. And it's not just like the one and done. It's not just you're here and then you're there. It's like you can keep going and keep evolving. And yeah, I like the idea that we don't need to be still ever.
Yeah. Yeah. As we were talking about that, I got the image of like a meadow of wildflowers feels more applicable to the average person. No one is just a singular entity that moves from one state of being to another. There's things growing and floating around, and there might be trees or sunlight or a breeze. Like all of those things are all kind of in flux and can be in different stages at any point. And it's all beautiful or not beautiful, you know, that feels more true than just being a butterfly.
Yeah. You're not just the one entity. You're like a whole picturesque scene, and things are always changing in different ways, in small ways, in big ways, in noticeable ways, in not so noticeable ways, kind of like the seasons are changing.
Yeah.
In your meadow.
We're entire ecospheres.
Yeah. I like that.
My obligatory note on that too is that people tend to think that if someone has dementia, that goes away. And that's one of my favorite things to explore with people is even if you have cognitive impairment at any stage, you're still a human who has a meadow within you that is, you know, potentially full of beautiful things. And that's why I love being in memory care, is getting to explore that with people.
Yeah.
And you're also exploring that with, you know, your, you know, creativity coaching people, that you get to see what their meadows look like.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Show me your meadow. That sounds dirty.
It shouldn't, but it does. Yeah. What's one of like an idea that you think is harmful about personal growth or that holds you back from it?
I think an idea that's pretty harmful about it is like, okay, so especially for like artists, there's this idea of like a tortured artist. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you can't heal and you can't grow because otherwise your art isn't going to be good anymore. And I think that's similar, like with personal growth, you might feel like, well, if I change, then I'm not the same person, or I can't make the same connections with the other people in my life as I grow. Like, what if I grow and people don't like me anymore? Or like, what if I grow and suddenly something's missing? And like this idea that we have to maintain everything in our life just as it is, or everything's going to change too fast, or I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, it does make sense. I think the idea of like the tortured artist needing to stay tortured. Yeah, I think that really does kind of translate into the personal growth of like, I need to stay small. I need to, you know, maintain this fixed state. And I feel like you're particularly in touch with that being in the writing world of like, oh, I'm a tortured artist and I need to, you know, kind of hold on to these different things.
And like, I've felt it, especially like, I think that was one of the reasons why it took me quite a while to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. Is because I was so afraid that if I stopped drinking, then I wasn't going to fit in with my people anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, if I was going against the grain, then I wasn't going to be me anymore. I wasn't going to be the me that people wanted to be around anymore. Mm. I mean, drunk Lauren is fun Lauren. That's like a lot of the messages that I was kind of receiving. And so like, I like was believing that. And so I was really scared to grow in that area. But like, once you do grow, you find like, oh, that's not true.
Well, and I think the context is so important there, because when you said that, I was like, yeah, drunk Lauren is fun Lauren, because we've had, you know, some fun drunk times in our college years. But it's also like, that's one small part of you. And I'm also like, authentic Lauren is fun Lauren, and creative Lauren is fun Lauren, and Lauren getting tattoos is fun Lauren, you know? So when you're in a context that elevates one part of you or one experience, it can feel like changing that would change everything. But then you get bigger picture of who you are and the world you're in. And, you know, there's a lot of other things too.
Yes, exactly.
So what's something that you've grown from non-existence into a thriving thing?
I just recently had my first successful transplant from like the pups that grow out of your spider plant into its own little plant. I've done this so many times before and they all have died. But this was my first one that grew out of my plant and I transplanted it and it is thriving at the moment and I'm very happy. There was a moment I thought it was going to die and now it's doing just fine and I'm very happy about it. I know we're talking not exactly about plants, but you know what? That is something that I took from non-existence to thriving.
So. I love it. I love it so much. And like, congratulations, because that is an accomplishment and something that's really, really fun to witness and have success in.
And I am so bad at keeping plants alive. They die all the time. And like, I have like 4 plants now that I've been able to keep alive for at least a year. I'm really proud of myself.
That's awesome. I love it.
Another thing, though, that isn't plant related, I'm going to go ahead and say, like, my self-esteem. I used to have just, like, very little self-esteem. I think it was kind of along with my perfectionism, just, like, showing up authentically and being imperfect. Like, I just didn't really think I was worth it. And now that, this journey I've been on with showing up and showing myself and meeting new people who like who I am, it's like, oh, yeah, I deserve this. And yeah.
I love that. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's good. It feels good. What about you? What's something that you have grown from non-existence to thriving?
I have the same thing where I have mundane ones that I really like in my head. And I also have, you know, the bigger ones. But I like the idea of pointing out the mundane one is the idea that, like, for both of us, 12 years ago, we did not have tattoos. Mm-hmm. You know, we were blank canvases and those were things that we had the ideas for and we found people who could bring them to life. And now they're a part of us and part of this canvas and masterpiece that's always growing. And I think that's something, it's a small thing, but it's something that I really love to remind myself. It's like, this didn't used to be here. There are people who knew me who never saw these tattoos. And there are people who have seen me get them and see how I've evolved, you know, because everyone represents different seasons of my life. And so I think it's a mundane thing, but also has much deeper connotations.
Yeah. And just like becoming the person who you want to be, which is a person covered in awesome tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah. And a person whose tattoos tell different stories of different times in my life. And yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
So what can your past self tell your current self about your relationship to growth?
Oh, yeah, I have no idea how to answer this one. I guess it depends on how far back you go, right? True. Like which past self are you talking about? Because I feel like my really young self would probably look at me and be like, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. But I think the me who like started advocating for herself and taking care of herself, I think she would probably tell me to just like keep going and rest when I need to, obviously, but like don't give up. What about you?
It's interesting that you say that about which past self, because I think that when I thought of this question, I didn't realize this until now, but I feel like it seems like I have a chorus of past selves around me who are all like, no, you felt this way before. We have felt hundreds and hundreds of times that surely there's no path forward, that surely you'll never find a home, that your business, your program will never get participants, that, you know, whatever it is that I currently feel like is impossible. They're all like, no, 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 keep going. It's like they've taken their seat as spectators of me now. And they're all like, yeah, no, we've been there. And we always move forward. And, you know, it's so easy to forget that. So I think I feel them cheering me on a little bit.
I love that so much. I'm just like picturing a bunch of Emersons all just like, in a room. And just, like, there's the head Emerson who's like running the show. And then there's all these Emersons. And they're like, I'm running out of steam on this thought. But I don't know. I love it.
Yeah, no, I love it as like it being like a command room or something where it's like, you know, there's one in charge and all the other ones are like, no, no, like tell them it's okay. Tell them they'll work out.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been a good conversation. I am like,
It's funny, like, talking about it, as but like when I'm going through it, and like it's all such a good reminder. And it there's also this other part of me that, like, the growing part of me that's just like really tired, that's just like, oh, like, okay, here we go, we're gonna keep going. You know?
Yeah. I'm having a thought right now. This is one of those things that I didn't realize before we started talking, and then I realized it, which makes it feel a lot like therapy.
Yeah.
But moving back to Washington's been really hard for me, because I feel like Arizona was where I got to go away and, for lack of a better metaphor, spread my wings and be free and feel really completely like myself. And coming back here, it feels like having to, like, fold myself back into a box. You know, it's where I grew up, and it's where I was a much, what I feel, smaller, sadder self. And it's hard to be like, yeah, just keep growing when I feel like that. And I think that going back to my meadow metaphor and, you know, going back to you feeling discouraged about moving forward, I think it could help us to think of it as like, what am I going to discover next? What can I explore and have fun with and just be excited about moving forward instead of feeling discouraged by growth?
Yeah. Instead of feeling drained, feeling excited about what's around the next corner.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, like a scavenger hunt, like a future scavenger hunt for growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm like a currently flower bud who the flower is about to blossom, and I don't know what color or shape or anything it is, and I'm excited to find out.
Yeah. And
I didn't realize that until now, that like, oh, I can be excited about who I'm going to be here and not just feel like when I bloom I'm just going to be the same little flower I was before.
Yeah.
What is something ugly that you've made in the past week or month?
So this is really gross, and this was truly disgusting and hilarious. So last weekend, or a couple weeks ago, I can't remember which, Jordan and I were very bored on a Saturday, and we were just watching TV, and Jordan just looks at me, because I think one of us sat down and like something in our bodies cracked, as it does when you age. Yes. And Jordan was just like, he's like, I want to make a song out of all of the cracking joints in our body.
Oh my God, that's so amazing.
So we recorded like me popping, like cracking all my fingers and like squatting down and cracking our knees. We just like went on and made just like all these gross sounds. And then we just like compiled them into this horrible, horrible soundtrack of creaking joints and gross throat clearing, and it was truly disgusting, and I never want to think about it ever again, but it was really fun when we were making it.
See, you say that, and I also feel like you need to share that. Like, it's too good and too ugly. It's amazing.
Oh my God, I had to stop after we had been like playing around with it in Audacity for like, I don't know, 20 minutes. And I was just like, I can't. I like walked out of the room and I was like, I'm done. I can't listen to this anymore. It's so gross.
We've watched a little bit of America's Got Talent in the hotel TV. And I could totally picture that being like one of those acts that Simon or whoever is just like, no, leave, just leave. I don't want it. Go away.
It totally would be, because it was disgusting. And it obviously, like, it didn't turn out anything like a song. It was just like these gross sounds that we like started repeating, and like, so gross.
I love it.
I think that was like the most ugly thing I could have ever made.
Yeah, that is peak ugly, and I love it so much.
Yeah,
amazing.
What about you?
Yeah, so we packed up our stuff into storage, and I realized at one point I put my ugly art journal in there. I went to go get it, and I was like, oh no, it's not here. And for a second I was like, oh my God, I can't make ugly art because I don't have my journal where I put all my
designated journal.
Yeah. And then I was like, no. So I had these cute like rainbow napkins, and like I didn't even have paper. We were staying somewhere where I had like a pen and that's it. So I got this napkin out. It was cute, had a rainbow on it, and I like just like drew little magical creatures. So I drew like, I think it was like a fairy and a gnome and Sasquatch. And then I gave them like spin-off names. So I forget. Gnome was like gnome with no G. So it was N-O-M-E. And it was like just a grumpy little gnome who always says no. Oh, and then there was a unicorn that turned out looking like a donkey. So I called it Unidonk. It was amazing. Like, I was like, I want to make a children's book story, which of course is like trying to like, you know, how we're always like, I'm going to make this profitable. But I was like, I want to actually like flesh this out and turn it into a thing.
Oh my God. A Unidonk.
Unidonk. Yeah.
That is adorable. And
his whole thing was like, you know, everyone thinks that unicorns are just the best ever. And like, I'm just over here being like a little donkey with a horn. And you know, it was, yeah. They all had these like little attitudes and stuff.
Oh, that's so cute. I love it.
It was like the misfit magical creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And it's all because of you. Because I was like, I have to do some ugly art. I have to do my homework.
Good.
Yeah.
So do you have anything to promote and where can people find you?
Yes. So I do have something very significant to promote that I want people to know about, and it's called From Panic to Power, and it's a program to really gently guide people through transforming their relationship to dementia from just sheer panic to feeling more empowered and at peace and prepared, which there's a really powerful curriculum around it. I've gathered, you know, advocacy by people living with dementia, patient-centered research, new ways of connecting, tools that I created. So I'm super, super excited about it. And I want to geek out about it all the time. So if people have family history, if they have early signs, if they have a loved one who has gotten or potentially needs a diagnosis, I really am excited to explore this with people. So that's From Panic to Power. And you can find that and other things at my website, makinghappymemories.com.
Yay. I'm so glad that you've launched this, and it's going to be really great and people should do it.
I'm so excited about it. It's hard to express. It's like a scavenger hunt. Like, I found so many things along this journey over the past, you know, years, almost decade at least, that have been like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this, or I, you know, had this beautiful experience and I've learned so much from so many different people. And so pulling it all together and sharing it with people feels really, really exciting.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you have to promote and where can people find you?
Yes, I'm doing my perfectionism workshop on July 6th at 5:30 p.m. People can sign up for it at scribeandsunshine.com/workshops. And there is a discount on the rate until the 29th of June. So definitely go check that out. And my workshop is very centered on how you can kind of take stock of where your perfectionism is coming from, and then figure out what tools and kinds of reframing you can do to get yourself moving forward and get unstuck. So this is my fourth time doing it, and it's like continued to evolve with each iteration, and I'm really happy with where it's at now, and I'm excited to see where it goes. So if you can't make this one, definitely keep an eye out for the next time I put it on, because it'll always be evolving and changing, and I'll be improving it to make sure that it's as good as it can be. So
yeah, everyone should sign up for it. There's so much you have to offer that is not out there as much as it should be, as far as, you know, how do we create and find ways to get past the things that tell us not to. And it's really, really powerful and really fun.
Yeah, I keep saying to people, mostly Jordan, I'm my best use case, because I'm such a perfectionist that I'm like, yeah, if I can do these things, trust me, you can too. And here's how I do it. Yeah. Maybe some of these tools will be helpful for you.
Yeah. Maddie and I have had the same thing when it comes to dementia, is like the tools and stuff I talk about all the time. We've both been using them in our own lives with our loved ones, and seeing just how fruitful it can be, how much connection you can have with people when you apply these things. So it's exciting when we have these things we believe in and then also get to see the benefit for ourselves, which also bolsters our case that they are actually meaningful things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to point out too, your workshop's on July 6th. My deadline is on July 6th. So July 6th is a date for people to get in touch with us and get connected with these things.
Yeah, July 6th it is.
Yep.
Well, this is awesome, and I'm glad we did this. And yeah, keep it ugly, everybody.
Keep it ugly and keep growing.
Yes, keep growing.
And keep having fun with growing.
Yay.